Greetings, all citizens of this galaxy and the one far, far away. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris.
And we invite you to join us for another Legend of the Outer Rim, where we discuss all things Star Wars, from Coruscant to Kamino and everything in between. So prep the hyperdrive and prepare to jump to Episode Zero, the beginning. Welcome, everyone, to Legends of the Outer Rim, your brand new Star Wars podcast. Oh my god, I'm so excited to get this show on the road. Chris, are you excited?
Of course, of course.
You don't seem excited.
I'm very excited. I'm just listening. I want to listen to what you have to say to people.
Well,
this
is a two-way podcast. You have to speak too at some point.
And I'm speaking right now to you.
Are you sure? Because I'm hearing silence now.
You do not hear silence.
Awkward silence for you.
See, you responded after I said something. There was no silence.
Shut up. Anyway, so this is going to be episode zero of the podcast, where basically we're just going to introduce ourselves, get a little bit of feel. I'm going to start sweating immediately because I'm nervous because I'm on camera and it's hot as hell in this room.
I'll be fine.
It's hot as freaking Mustafar.
I've been on camera many times beforehand.
Yes, because Meta is a well-known, world-renowned and famous streamer and YouTube personality.
And I normally do like webcam on streams, though.
Yes, your glorious face does not make many appearances.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Coming from you, that's a compliment.
Well, I mean, apart from your teeth. No, I'm not going to go there.
No,
I wasn't going to actually go there. Relax.
Yeah, this is personal stuff, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, I'm going to make fun of your teeth. Look at that. Yeah.
Okay, I don't feel that bad now.
Yeah, you may have a gap. I have a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Mm.
When about did you first watch Star Wars?
I was like six. I was 6 years old. Six. I remember my dad sat me down. Okay, we're going to watch Star Wars. I didn't like, what the hell's Star Wars? Or no, I had to say it in a much. What the hell's Star Wars?
What the hell's Star Wars, Daddy?
Oh, God. It's the Disney era. Anyway, and it was one of those kind of like a visceral moments for me because... I didn't know what it was, and all I distinctly remember my dad turning me and going, remember, or just want you to know, the people in white, they're the bad guys. I distinctly remember that.
Oh, the stormtroopers.
The stormtroopers, yeah. It was like,
yeah, okay. I was like,
he didn't call them stormtroopers, but he said just, the guys in white, those
are
the bad guys.
People in white.
That was the best thing he could give him, because that was the only like context, because I had no idea what this was. I mean, this is before... The Clone Wars were really out. I think the...
But what about the big, tall, black guy? Is he a good guy then?
Yeah. No.
Darth Vader. I jumped the gun there, but...
Darth Vader, yes, but I'm not sure. I don't quite remember. Nope, I don't remember. This would have been like 2001. So Phantom Menace had come out, but my dad seemed to be very intent that you're going to watch the original trilogy first. Because my dad... hates the prequels with a visceral passion. I've kind of come to grow in
can't
love.
Can't tell
them.
You why, but...
I can tell you why. He hates Jar Jar Binks with a burning, fiery passion.
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
No, he literally... Oh, my God.
Anyway, he hates Jar Jar Binks, but... Yeah,
I don't like Jar Jar Binks either, but that's for a whole different reason.
Yeah, but you'll get more into that when we actually talk about Phantom Menace.
Absolutely. What about you? What was your first time watching the glorious Star Wars?
The thing is, I don't remember the exact age I was or year, because when I first watched Star Wars, like, I think I remember that I saw... Okay, well, because, like, I was very young at the time. The earliest I can remember is I bought Star Wars, like the original, which I complained about. Like, I want to see the Star Wars lightsaber battles. These ones aren't as cool. I was so disappointed.
You're immediately throwing shade on the original.
I was disappointed that I got the original trilogy. Because I was like, these are so old. They look boring. It's like... Because as a kid, you're like, you don't give a fuck. Well, whatever you watch on TV, you don't know what's going on. You just care about the cool stuff, you know? Things are cool.
Hey,
know?
For 1977, that was a freaking cool movie.
Yeah, but you know, like, I'm an idiot.
I will admit, the first lightsaber battle in A New Hope did not. But, like, it does not age well.
Like now, I mean, now I see a different picture and things. I do think that what makes the original so great is the fact that the characters are interesting. The storytelling is good. You know, like those are the elements I think that work out. But I'll get more into that later.
I would argue the storytelling is better in the original trilogy than it is in the prequel, and much better than the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. Now, I did watch the original trilogy, like the original cuts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I distinctively remember I want to say it was the 2004 special editions.
The DVD ones?
The DVD ones, yes.
Yeah, yes. And we'll discuss these more as we get into the original trilogy and what we're actually into them in themselves. But you already know my feelings that what George Lucas has done to the originals is just, it's a lot of it is just blasphemy, in my opinion. Yeah. I know he's the creator. And
you know what else is? I completely skipped on Phantom Menace. I actually watched Attack of the Clones first before Phantom Menace.
Oh, you don't even like Phantom Menace?
No, the thing is, I didn't realize that there was a first Phantom Menace. I saw it in a book. I was saying, like, I haven't seen this one yet. Oh, look at this cool character. It's called Darth Maul. That looks cool. I want to see this movie now.
Meta. Chris. I'm going to say this now. If I call him Meta, it's totally normal because I've known him since, 7 years now, and I knew him as his original gamer tag.
That was like my original name on YouTube as well, but I changed it a couple of years back.
I refuse to change, though. Anyway,
Chris. It's fine. Everyone else just still calls me Meta, so it's whatever.
Yeah. Anyway. Did you not notice the little thing that said episode 2?
Yeah, but I didn't know what that was. Remember, then again, I was very young. I don't think about things. When you're young, you're stupid, okay?
When you get older, you're still stupid, but you learn how to quail your stupidity. And I'm not. That's not me throwing a shade at you. That's a shade at every adult. Adults are stupid. Kids are stupid.
Yeah, I mean, they can be, but that's a different topic. I don't know why we're talking about that, but
because I enjoy I enjoy tangents. But Phantom Menace, not the best movie in my opinion. Do you have a favorite though?
A favorite Star Wars movie?
Movie, yes, favorite movie.
No, but when you say favorite movie, we're talking about Star Wars movies or just a movie in general?
No, we're. Meta, what is the context of this glorious podcast that these
you
people
have,
are joining?
Yeah, but you have to be specific with your
okay,
words.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're doing Star Wars.
Mr. Chris, what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
That's better. Okay, my favorite, I want to say Empire Strikes Back is definitely, which I know, I mean, that's like the, that's what everyone says, but they're pretty much right when they say it, so.
It's the same for me. I mean, from everything, it just has the right balance of action sequences between the battle on Hoth with everything going on Cloud City. You have this great backstory into, you know, for Yoda, and you get the growth of Luke as a Jedi himself. You see a lot of fun in the character is and how do I say this? It's a lot of fun for you as the viewer, and you could tell the actors were having fun with developing their characters and really playing off of each other. And it's something that I don't think you get so much in episode 4, because you're still learning all these characters, and, well, Luke's a whiny bitch, but that's a side thing. We'll get there.
Yeah.
And Jedi, where you have weird teddy bears.
Well, the thing is, I felt like Empire Strikes Back was the darkest out of the trilogy, the original trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know if it was if it was just a rewrite or something, they just were like, oh, maybe we should tone it down a bit. Return of the Jedi, which is the weakest out of the trilogy, I think they just wanted to tone it down a little bit, you know, go back to we just have teddy bears, you know? Yeah, just like what you said, we have teddy bears.
So,
which are not bad. Like I will say, they're not bad, but it definitely feels like they were trying to rewrite something.
Yeah, and it should be said that George, from what I understand, George Lucas had the basic outline for the first six movies. Nothing in depth, not like screenplays or storyboards or anything like, but he knew kind of the rough area where the story was going to start, where he wanted it to finish. And that's why you get like references to the Clone Wars in episode 4, even though that was done first.
Yeah, and I will give George Lucas that. I will
say that. Absolutely. And you could really tell that George Lucas had a great vision for what this was going to be. And it kind of shows, especially throughout the original trilogy, you have like just classic scenes, of course, going through Empire of, you know, no, I am your father. The whole showdown between Luke and Vader is just fantastic. You have, of course, Han being lowered.
We're talking about Empire Strikes Back. We're not even at the movie yet.
I know, but we're talking about our favorite scenes. I thought that was okay.
Yeah, true.
The movies themselves, they have just some really iconic moments in general. I mean, we were talking about Empire, of course, with like Han going into the Carbonite, the whole showdown between Luke and Vader, and these are just so powerful of images and so powerful of storytelling. I remember the first time when Darth Vader revealed to Luke that he was his father. I nearly shat myself.
I don't remember it, though. That's the thing.
Oh, well, at this point, I had loved A New Hope. And I remember we watched the original trilogy very close to each other. I think it was on a weekend basis. It was like 3 weeks we watched the first three movies. And just that moment of Darth Vader dropping the bombshell on Luke, I was right there in on Luke's side going, "What on earth is going on now?"
I feel like, because I sometimes wish that I could go to the cinema in the time when Empire Strikes Back was first released and just see the audience reaction to that.
Oh, I have to imagine it was gas.
Bet you there was, but like when the thing is, you and I were never gonna see that. So
true, but you can kind of get the echoes of it from how you react to it yourself, which is just like holy crap. Like
well, yeah, for that, but it's not the same as what you want to like. You want to see how the audience itself reacted to it. Like you reacted to it, but you don't see everyone around you reacting to it now.
All right, well here, okay, fine. Well, let's fast forward a little bit into the final episode of Obi-Wan. Let me guess what your reaction was when Anakin is talking to Obi-Wan saying, "You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker. I did."
My reaction to it?
Did you not like go, holy shit?
I mean, I thought it was good dialogue, so. Because I will say, like, you people can have opinions with Obi-Wan. I don't really care what your opinion is. But anyway, I do think it, like, gave us some closure to a few things that was in the gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope with Obi-Wan. Because, true, you know, you see, like, the tragic with Revenge of the Sith with Obi-Wan. And then A New Hope, he's just like, yes, your father was betrayed by Darth Vader. You betrayed and murdered your father. And then they meet. It's just like, you're honestly a master of evil, Darth. It's like,
I question
not the same.
I question whether or not Ben had started going just a slight bit senile.
Probably, but
because think about it, you get that, like, you know, Luke and Ben, they kind of know each other. They kind of going, "You must learn the ways of the Force." Like, the fuck? Ben, slow down.
Nah, you see, he's a farm boy. Luke Skywalker's a farm boy, all right?
Look,
you love Luke Skywalker, farm boy.
All right, but I think you and I are agreed that of the movies in general, the originals are, in my opinion, superior. I would say you probably agree.
Yes, yeah.
The prequels are good, which is actually strange.
Well, here's the thing. I want to say the prequels are better now beforehand just because of how much, like, if you just do not take it that serious, you laugh at all the things, especially with Under the Shift. That is mildly entertaining, but
yes, who would have thought the guy that did 4 creepy head turns in one conversation was the bad guy?
Oh, but you know what? Hey, maybe because, like, hey, you know him from, like, Return of the Jedi? We're not even gonna be subtled by the fact that he's the bad guy.
I know.
Just foreshadow it.
Well, you see, that's one of those things where I think the way you watch the movies really depends on how the certain energies hit.
Yeah, that's why I feel like watch them in the order they were released, because I feel like it's just more impactful later on when you watch, like, prequels.
I disagree.
And same with the TV series as well.
I disagree with the watch order.
Which order? Let me guess. I feel like I know the order, but go ahead.
The correct watch order for Star Wars, in my opinion, this, and I've watched it in every way. I've watched it release order, episodic order. I think, honestly, it's going to be... And you could throw Rogue One in here if you want. Solo, I think, is one of those movies that's just like, it's a fun watch, but I don't know if it really adds anything to the story.
I mean, it really does not. Feel like it's unnecessary.
It's a fun ride.
I didn't like the Solo movie, but whatever.
Yeah. But you can watch Rogue One. Start with Rogue One. I would highly do that. Episode 4. Episode 5. Then jump back to the prequels. Then go through Episode 1, 2, and 3, and then watch Episode 6. And there is a reason for this. Because it's... preserves all the heavy hits and the shock of what on earth, you know, of Darth Vader being Anakin's or being Luke's father. And it's like, it preserves that kind of like that visceral hit. And it then gives you the opportunity to go back and see how Anakin became Darth Vader. Because that's really what the original what the prequel trilogy is meant to tell. That's the story. Is how Anakin went from being the little kid on Tatooine to murdering younglings.
Yes.
Yes. And then stop watching. We're going to talk about it, but the sequel trilogy is just...
Yeah, but I feel like you... What do we need in Phantom Menace?
You need to see how Anakin is discovered by the Jedi Order. And you get to see the beginning of the gears of
fear leaves the anger leaves the hate leaves the suffering, blah blah
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, Yoda's a bit of a fortune cookie in that movie, but my point being, actually, he's not the worst character of that movie, and that would still be Jar Jar Binks.
Oh yeah, of course you would say that, but yes, it is true.
We can discuss this further in when we do Phantom Menace. But would you like to know why I think Jar Jar Binks is the worst character?
Go ahead, bleed your heart out.
Okay, let me ask you this: what does he provide to the plot?
Nothing.
I've worked this. He does one thing.
What does he do? Oh, man.
He leads Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan to the Gungan city.
Well, that's it. That's the only
That's the only thing he does in the entire movie. He has so much screen time. And it drives me nuts, because literally Jar Jar's part could have just been a Gungan farmer out, you know, tending some crop of herbs that only grows on the surface. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, droids are attacking here. Let me take you to my leader and we can try to figure out what's going on here. And then they disappear from the story. If they had done that,
actually, yeah, I guess nothing would have changed. Better, I guess, but yeah.
Nothing would have changed in the story.
No. The only thing it would change is that no one would be hating on this character.
Yes, and some people, he's there for comic relief. That's what 3PO's for. And guess who shows up later in the story?
3PO is way better.
Yeah, and he shows up in Phantom Menace.
Yes, he does.
Yes,
but,
briefly, because he's not very well built yet, but still. What is the point of Jar Jar?
Well, I mean, I've said it. It's also like I was saying, like, for myself, he's like the true back of the series. But you were saying he's like the C-3PO of the series. But like, but he's definitely not those characters.
Yeah, he's just a terribly written. He's a terrible character. I mean, even when you want to talk about the sequels, like a lot of people hate on Rey. Rey is not necessarily a bad character.
No,
she's not written well.
Oh, how exciting. Can we talk about that later? Listen, I have so much to talk about. It would be so exciting.
Oh, we're going to have to wait a little bit.
That's unfortunate, but I can wait. I'm patient.
Anyway, but yeah, we could talk about the movie is something that will give us many, many much to talk about. But there's also more than movies. There are TV shows. And I think we cannot talk Star Wars, at least how we feel about Star Wars, without talking about the greatest of Star Wars TV shows, The Clone Wars.
Want me to say something after that?
Possibly, but, yes. This is a audio experience.
Well, could you ask me a question?
What do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite arc of the Clone Wars? Favorite arc?
I don't remember much of the arcs. But it has, like, again, long time I actually seen the Clone Wars. The only time I saw it recently was when season 7 was released, aired.
I don't think you have the obsessive fandom in which you go back and watch these irregularly.
Well, not regularly, no. Like, I feel like...
Oh, you gotta learn today.
Well, that's the point of, like, rewatching them and doing the podcast.
Of course.
Because now, don't remember much. I go back to them once we get to the podcast, like, talking about those episodes, those arcs, then I'll actually have an answer for you.
Oh, I could tell you my favorite arc right now.
Well, go ahead.
Maul. When Darth Maul returns,
I will say that Maul being rewritten back into Star Wars was the best thing they ever did.
Oh, yeah. And it's so much fun to watch him, like, obsess about Kenobi.
Oh, I want him dead. He will kill so many people just to try and get to this one person. It's just like, man, he is a...
I honestly think Maul would just viciously murder someone that just said, yeah, you know, Kenobi's kind of cool.
I do, and his thing goes, I did watch Rebels more recently than Clone Wars, so I actually remember Rebels a little bit more of what happened.
I haven't...
You haven't?
I haven't watched Rebels all the way. It's kind of like one of those things, it's just like, I started watching and I'm like, what's the point?
Okay.
But we're going to watch it and we're going to discuss it.
I will say, actually, you know, I won't say it now, I'll say it later.
Oh, Rebels, no, say it.
I think once you get past season one, the Rebels series does get better.
I think I've watched 3 seasons of it.
You haven't watched the 4th season?
No, I've at least watched 2 seasons, I know that.
Oh, you are far behind
it. Yeah, I know Kanan loses his vision at some point, but then I know at some point they do some weird astral.
Can I will say this, because the Ahsoka series does follow up on how Rebels ended.
It's a good thing we're gonna have to watch Rebels before we do Ahsoka. Yeah.
Now I've actually watched Ahsoka. He hasn't, so like I do know.
Yeah, I know. I have some limitations.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, you'll see a live action Thrawn, and it's played by the same person who voice Thrawn in Rebels.
Excellent. I love Thrawn.
So, yes.
Thrawn's a great character. He's
I'll divert a little bit. Did you ever read the Legends comic with Thrawn in it?
No.
Because I haven't, but like I'm wondering if you have or not.
I have not. But
because I feel like there's a lot of very split opinions with Thrawn and Rebels just because of the people who've read the comics. You know, they have their own opinion, saying like, oh, he's a little bit better in the comics, or he's about the same in Rebels. But yeah, that's people's beef.
From my experience with him in Rebels, Thrawn has the same, like, you know, malevolent energy that Tarkin has in A New Hope. And I love Tarkin.
Well, I feel like Thrawn's also a lot better at just predicting, like, enemy attacks.
Yeah, well, clearly, because... I don't know what happens to Thrawn in the whole grand scheme, but Tarkin doesn't evacuate when he knows there's a weakness in the Death Star. So, I'm going to say Thrawn probably has the strategy.
I will say this. I do get up a good reason why you don't see Thrawn or Ezra in the original movies. Why they're not there. There is a reason for that.
I assume they're dead.
Well, no, they're not dead because they're in Ahsoka.
Oh, okay. I did not know this.
That's what I mean. Like, but they will explain why you don't see them in the original movie.
See, right? I haven't watched Ahsoka and I haven't watched Andor either.
Oh, but I'll tell you right now. If you're a fan of Clone Wars and Rebels, Ahsoka is a reward, basically. Ooh. It's very good. Very good.
Do they still have the same, I can't remember her name offhand, that played her in The Mandalorian?
Well, are we talking about the red hair one or Sabine?
No. Do they have the same actress playing Ahsoka in the show as they did for The Mandalorian?
No, they don't.
They changed? Oh, wow. Why? That's weird. Well, you have a really good Ahsoka character, although it might be an age
thing. Yeah, but like, she wouldn't exactly look the part in live action, but like...
Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about the actress that plays Ahsoka in Mandalorian.
Oh, well, no, no. It's the same. No, the... okay, in Mandalorian, yeah, they got the same...
Oh, okay.
Actor who did Ahsoka live action in Mandalorian is the same. Yes.
Okay. I was. That's what I
figured. I thought you were referring to like voice actress.
Her voice Yes. Which honestly, I don't know her name. I'm gonna have to do some research on this shit.
And no. So wait, do you know any of the cast in Ahsoka?
No. I assume
Hayden Christensen does come back as Anakin in Ahsoka.
Yeah. Well, they've really been doing a lot with bringing Hayden back, which is actually strangely I don't know if it's a difference in directing, but Hayden Christensen's Anakin is better in the TV shows than it is in the movies.
Well, that is true, but like, I feel like you and I need to actually sit down together so I can watch you react to Ahsoka because I think you'll like it.
Should we do a live watch of Ahsoka?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Maybe that'd be a separate.
But first, you gotta stick with Rebels first because you actually need the context of how Rebels ended.
Also, actually, here's a good question. When it comes to the TV shows, what is it with Anakin's friends just cutting the helmet in half?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's always the same eye.
They want to show he has the dark side.
It's like, what the hell? Anyway, but in the grand scheme, though, going back to Anakin, though, I don't know what is up with Anakin's, with how they wrote or directed Anakin in the movies, but once he gets into like live action TV shows, much better. Although I still prefer the Clone Wars Anakin.
Unpopular. Yeah, but Clone Wars Anakin, and like here's the thing: there's also people like the characters more in Clone Wars than they do in the movies. Blah blah blah. But here's the thing: I hate how in Obi-Wan people wanted to see Kenobi be Clone Wars Kenobi, but I'm like, bruh, this is a different time.
But you have But you have Ewan McGregor, who is the greatest. Oh, you mean the Clone Wars?
No. Yeah, no. I mean like he's like, because like his mannerism is like so, like just depressed, basically.
Well, if you just watched everyone you knew and cared about be killed by the Empire, your best friend, and your surrogate son has turned to the dark side and killed a lot of the people you cared about, and the entire galaxy's turned into a shithole. Yeah, I'd be pretty depressed,
but you see why I just don't like how people are using that as a reason why I don't like his character. And this is just like, this is a different time. Oh. He has to move on from like...
Oh, no, I think they did a great job writing the... Just
no, I think they did a good job.
The trauma of Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan in...
Well, it's the trauma that I expected after Revenge of the Sith, so...
Oh, yeah, and it kind of also explains why he's a little bit less traumatized by the time you get to A New Hope, because he's kind of...
Yeah, but you see, that was what I was saying beforehand, why I feel like it does give us some closure within the gap between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope. That's what I mean.
It does a great job of that. And actually, any of those Star Wars content, which is supposed to bridge gaps, does a great job. Rogue One did a great job at bridging that gap.
Well, yeah, it did, yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry.
You, like, because you've not watched Andor yet,
no.
Have you?
No.
I've watched, I think, 3 episodes of it. And I've just stopped because I was not really interested in where the story was. It was very slow, very slow. There's a few characters where like, there's good, few good development, but it's slow. And I was just.
Well, get prepared because at some point we'll get to it.
Yeah, well, there is apparently what. Also, can I also say something?
Sure.
Apparently, where Andor is going to end, because I think that there is another season, but where it ends is like a couple of days before Rogue One kicks off.
That would make sense. Does that mean K2 actually shows up at some point? Because I know he's not really.
He does show up.
Oh, he does. Oh, K2SO. Yeah. He's my favorite droid. I like him better than 3PO, and I actually like him better than R2. I might get
better than R2. Oh,
I will get some hate for this, I know, but I like K2 better than R2. Simply because I love the attitude. The attitude K2SO throws.
Actually,
at
no, you
all
say
there.
You know.
It's just fun.
Can I also say this? Despite me saying I'm not a fan of Solo, I did like Lando's robot companion.
Oh yeah, what was her name? It was L3.
I forget her name.
Something. The problem with Solo is just it felt like it was doing just way too much fan service of, oh, here's why the Millennium Falcon's kind of quirky. Here's what the Kessel Run did. It did a little bit too much, was just trying to explain every little detail of Solo's background.
I feel
background.
Like it didn't really tell me anything about, like, Han specifically. Because here's the thing. We see in A New Hope, he's a bit of, you know, he's a smuggler, right?
He's a pirate.
And he does it for the money. He does stuff for the money.
Yeah, he's a pirate and a mercenary.
But in this, I'm like, I want to see, like, just see how, like, he can do some terrible things. And, you know, he could probably make deals with Jabba the Hutt, because you don't see Jabba the Hutt. Which is dumb. I feel like that's what they should have done. Have it where...
Actually, yeah.
You get what I mean? Though, here's the thing they did. Now, they did mention Jabba the Hutt in Solo.
It should have ended,
like,
there, actually. It should have ended.
But here's the thing. No, you want to know something? The way Solo ended is both Han and Chewbacca are going to Tatooine because... what was his name? The actor for... What was his name for... Who was the guy that was with them?
Woody
Harrison. That was it.
But his character dies twice in Star Wars canon, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, okay. But I will say, he did mention to Han saying there is a gangster looking for work, like, to putting together a crew. And that's where they're going. They're going to Tatooine to meet this gangster.
I get you. And that would have actually been a great thing for it to kind of end with Han walking into Jabba's palace. As a way of kind of like finalizing that tie-in. But yeah, you're right. Han is supposed to be a pirate and a mercenary.
Mm.
He does things for the money. He does it for himself. And he's a selfish character. He's a very...
Yeah, and I don't know what they're planning to do with, like, the love interest in that. Because, like, I feel like... Because we know how things are going to end with, like, the Solo character, Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point of this character? Like, is there going to be some, like... Like, disaster, emotion disaster here.
Oh, I would assume so.
Yeah. Though, but, you know, we did see a little bit of Darth Maul, and so this is set sometime either between Rebels or, like, before Rebels. So.
If I had to take a guess for where that all plays out, given that I don't know where Rebels ends, I'm going to guess it's after Rebels, but it has to be during, or before Rebels.
It is probably before Rebels, yeah, like...
Because Obi-Wan kills Maul in Rebels.
Yeah, but that was in, like, the end of season 3. I'm saying, like, it could be, like, before Rebels, or it could sit in, like, somewhere in between Rebels. But
it could be kind of be going on during Rebels.
It could. That's what I mean, during Rebels as well.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, so...
Also, you want to know what's funny, because people brought this out, is, like, how old is Han, like, compared to Leia?
Yeah. 20 years older, at least?
Because you see, like, Leia is 10 years old in Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's not a couple of years away from when the Solo movie took off. I'm like...
I would agree. But I will say this also. I mean, at the time of filming Star Wars, Han Solo did look considerably older than Princess Leia.
Yeah.
So it's fine for canon. It's fine for the timelines. But yeah, I would say she's probably 20 years older than Leia. 15, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Because by the time he leaves Corellia, Han's already, like, what? He's, like, early 20s, right?
Who, Han?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
But. I think we've derailed at this point.
What's the next thing? What else did we want to talk about?
Video games. I want to talk about video games. The glory of Star Wars video games.
Star Wars video games. Oh,
yes. Right. And we can't talk about Star Wars video games without talking about the glory and the current shit show that is Battlefront.
What, the remasters? Did you play that? Did you not like it?
I'm going to put it to you this way. When something on Steam...
I've seen the clips for them, so...
Yeah, when something on Steam has overwhelmingly negative reviews, I'm not even going to throw my money at it. It's bad.
Have you seen the gameplay footage for it?
No, not exactly, but I've
So
just,
here's the
I've
thing.
Heard
the graphics... I'll tell you some of the details, right?
Okay.
Graphics, don't look that much different. They look almost exactly the same as the PlayStation 2, except cleaner. Just cleaner, but looks like PlayStation 2. Textures, like, they don't look right. Like, you can, like, if you're looking at the ground, you see the border.
Mm-hmm.
servers crash all the time. All the time. You'll be in maybe for about 5 minutes or, like, 3 minutes, and it just crashes.
Good, good, good. Good quality in a brand new product. Look, here's my thing with this, and I don't understand how they could have fucked it up. Because all they really needed to do for that remaster, or that re-release, I'm going to call it more of a re-release than a remaster, is take Battlefront, take Battlefront 2, combine them together into the same game. Totally fine with that. I don't even care if they upgrade the graphics. Yeah, the graphics for Battlefront are a little clunky. They're PlayStation 2 era games, which is fine with me. And then put a good multiplayer into it and send it. If they had done that,
I just don't know. How was this given the green light to be released in that state?
It was probably suffered from the same issue that all video games have these days. They were rushed to release.
Yeah, but what are they rushing for?
I don't know, but usually it's, you know, some sort of financial balance of, hey, we're still trying to make money on this, and we're at the point where this game has to be out.
I hate the fact that, like, people think they can just make money when they should just make a good game, because that way you will get more money and everyone is happy.
Yeah, but I mean, but this is a common thing, right? I mean, remember when Cyberpunk released?
Yes.
Yeah, how much of a glorious shit show that was. The game was buggier than all Get Out. And it was the most, like, one of the most anticipated games of, what, 2022 when it came out?
Was it 22?
Was it 22 or 23? I think it was 22.
I forget. You know what else was, shithole? You know what it was? It was the Golem game that came out.
Oh, I didn't play it. I heard some really bad things about it, though.
It is awful. It is awful.
All this means to say is that games these days are shit. This is not, and Star Wars games are not exclusive to this. Battlefront 1? Like the EA version of Battlefront, the original.
Yeah, that was the one Battlefront game I did play.
I heard, or was it Battlefront 1 or 2 that was like a mess when it first, I think it was 2. No, it was 2. Because 2 came out and people were like, what the hell is this? And then they made it better.
Yeah, but that's good. They did make it better. So.
Yes, but it's like, how do you screw up a game? I mean, because there are some really great Star Wars games out there. The Force Unleashed, for example, even though it's not canon anymore, remains my favorite Star Wars game. No, it isn't.
Was that the one with the character
Starkiller?
Starkiller.
Yeah.
Which I feel like in some continuity they should bring that character back.
Yes, but I know that the Force Unleashed is not considered a canon story at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, which is okay, I suppose, but it's at the same time is just a great game. You get to see this new character that we're not familiar with. We don't have this whole, like, grandiose, oh, well, he's from this storyline and this arc or anything, whatever. You just have him being his own standalone character. He's well-written. He has a great character progression through the story, from being Vader's pawn to, depending on which path you choose at the end, either Vader's replacement.
Yeah, but he's like, what people like about him is that he's pretty brutal, like, stuff.
Oh, well, he was trained as a Sith.
Yeah.
He's going to be brutal. But he's also, I think Starkiller does a great job of showing that a character in Star Wars does not have to be good or bad. That was always kind of a weird thing with Star Wars. It's like there was a very black and white morality.
Mm-hmm.
You either were good and you were all, you know, sunshines and rainbows, or you were a Sith Lord.
Yeah. Did you also? Sorry, I'm going back to like TV show real quickly. But
all right.
Did you check out the Tales of the Jedi?
Oh yes.
Series?
Yes, and I loved watching Dooku. The Ahsoka.
Well, I feel like the Goku ones were the best, just because like it helps flesh out his character on how he became the Sith Lord. You know,
how he kind of became disillusioned.
Yeah, and the fact that we know that we get, because I do remember him saying how like, oh, Qui-Gon was once my apprentice before you were his. You know, it's like
as you were once his. Yes.
Yeah.
But Dooku's still one of my favorite characters of Star Wars. He's so much fun. And Chris Lee does such a great job.
Well, Christopher Lee is just like, he's a legend.
Yep.
Palpatine just killed him off. So it's like, oh, well, screw you.
Well, I mean, if you have, you know, let's say we're playing poker. You got a jack, admittedly an old jack. And you're just watching an ace just kill, or like get the better of him. Which card are you going to discard? You're going to throw the ace. You're going to throw the jack away to take the ace, right?
Yeah. Okay. Good metaphor there.
Yes. Obviously, that's what you're going to do.
We just basically just
me showing
said
my
that Count Dooku. We used him like he was a poker game, basically. Chuck him away.
No. Like he's a he's like a Pokemon. You finally capture a Pokemon that's better than the
one with a better nature.
into the PC you go.
You have a better nature. We'll dispose of the other one now.
Kill him.
Now. Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll go back to games.
Anyway. Yeah. With The Force Unleashed is still a grind. The Force Unleashed 2, great story. Not quite as well produced, in my opinion, than the original. Did you ever play any of the GameCube era games? Like
GameCube. I did not own Jedi Academy. I owned a PlayStation 2. I did not have a GameCube. I did not play any of the Star Wars games. The only time I ever played Star Wars games was the Lego games.
See, this is a glaring omission in my Star Wars video game heritage. I've never played a Star Wars Lego.
You never played Lego Star Wars?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
And you want to know what's funny? That is, I think that's when I was like, why I was really into the prequels is because, oh, this Lego Star Wars game is so cool. I like it. Look at me, I'm shooting around. Boom, boom. And then when you get to the stuff in the movie, it's just like, the only bits I liked were the bits were in the game.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, you had Lego Star Wars. I had the PlayStation 2 version of Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. That was a really fun game. Hard to play, too. Hard to do well, especially at least when I was...
Did you ever... You didn't have a Xbox 360 or Xbox, did you?
I had an OG Xbox.
Did you ever have a Kinect where you could... So you could play that, like, Star Wars game? You know, the one I'm talking about?
No. Why would I?
No.
Why would I have a Kinect?
Ooh. To use a lightsaber in a game? I don't know.
Well, you know, if I want to use a lightsaber in a game, I will play Vader Immortal on my quest.
Yeah. Anyway, I remember I owned a toy lightsaber. My brother owned a toy lightsaber.
We all
I had a purple
lightsaber. Them.
I owned a purple lightsaber because I thought purple was cool.
I had the Anakin lightsaber. You remember when the first ones came out? They were like they actually had light up and actual like some sort of effect with them. Obi-Wan's vibrated and the Anakin one would switch between red and blue.
Oh, can it? Oh, okay.
Yes, I had the Anakin one. My brother got the Obi-Wan one. Admittedly, I think the Obi-Wan one was better. The problem with those toys, and I think with anything that you hand a child, basically a plastic sword, is when you crack your fingers.
Yes, that has happened.
Everybody listening right now is
and
like,
listen,
you know,
if you haven't cracked your fingers while doing it, you're lying. You're lying, and I'm disappointed.
And of course, nowadays you can spend obscene amount of money on toys or on Star Wars toys.
Yep. Well, have you ever gone to a supermarket, right? You see in like the toys aisle, like in one of the sections, you got two people just using the toy lightsabers, just playing in the area.
And it's always the same one motion. It's literally just going. Right. Cross, 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 cross.
Yeah, because
cross.
That's
all they can do.
It is all they can do because you're not a true Jedi. You can't, like, do the Anakin spin or whatnot.
You can once you you'd get the choreography down.
Yeah, unfortunately, we also can't be, you know what we all are? If we're a big fan with lightsabers, we'll be General Grievous, where we will just take any sort of lightsaber from the toy second.
A new lightsaber.
This will be a fine addition to my collection.
Yeah, speaking of which, hold on, I'll be right back in a second.
Oh, he's yep.
Fine addition to my collection, you say?
Oh my god, wait, I don't know if I... have this on, but I'll see if I can control. I don't think I can.
So yeah, these are some of the coolest things you could buy these days. These are the light up ones. Do you want to take a guess what color my lightsaber is?
Red.
Red, you think? You think I'm a Sith?
Yes.
Yours would be purple, we know already. But the answer to your statement is
orange. Is that yellow?
It's yellow, orange. I don't know why.
Orange.
Technically, it's like, I think yellow is supposed to be the Jedi Sentinel. If you want to really get into like the background history of Star Wars,
to these colors.
I want to talk about that real quick. And I realize we need to be finishing up this recording at some point here, but I want to talk real quick is the level of backgrounds that has been added either by just fans themselves, just creating the lore for Star Wars or the comics or, you know, books and all that stuff. Star Wars might be a fandom that has the most background information.
Well, it's funny because I saw a meme of this, right? I saw a meme where you got like a small book when George Lucas first started with the lightsabers. Like you got a small book about the lore. And then once Samuel L. Jackson said, hey, can I get a purple lightsaber? And just the book is now the lore. Lightsaber lore.
But it's just like, it's amazing to think just the lore of Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other fandoms have a fantastic lore. Lord of the Rings has a fantastic lore, especially with the Silmarillion. Sorry, Tolkien fans. I can't say the word, damn it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm more invested in lore with worlds, like, and story, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. But it's like, it's amazing how, like, the cantina scene of A New Hope. It's like...
Yes.
Every single person in the cantina has a Wikipedia page.
Or a Wookiee. Everyone in that cantina.
Pretty much.
Wow.
It is ridiculous how much lore has been added just to the cantina scene. And we'll talk about it when we do A New Hope, which is going to be the next episode. But it's like, it's ridiculous. Honestly, I think it's just because Star Wars fans are nuts, and I'm nuts, and I love being nuts, and I hope you will join us for more episodes. Thank you very much for joining us for this wonderful episode zero. It's been a little bit hectic and a little bit chaotic, but that's probably how every one of these is going to go from moving forward, so just buckle in. It's just going to be a ride for us. Thank you very much for watching. I'm Sean. That's Chris. I don't know if he wants to say his name.
I'm Chris, but you already knew that.
Yes. Thank you very much for watching, and we'll catch you next time, and may the Force be with you.